The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
So that's Taylor Swift. It's a song from her new album, her hotly anticipated new album, Among the People Who Have Been Unable to Sleep. Prime among the people who have been unable to sleep is Dave Fanning. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Anton, I'm very well. How are you?
Good. So, Dave, I need you to explain something to me. I hadn't so much missed Taylor Swift as I hadn't paid her sufficient attention. So about 2 weeks ago, I had to ride a motorcycle to Tipperary and back. And I thought, do you know what I'll do? This is a perfect opportunity to learn Taylor Swift. So I put Spotify or one of those things on and I listened to Taylor Swift for a good 4 or 5 hours. I don't get her, Dave.
Hold on a second. That's not a test. That's a silly Anton Savage test. You have to live it. You have to be it. And you have to be part of it all. Now, by the way, this is really weird. You're the only person probably has had somebody on the radio talking about Taylor Swift who you and me don't really give a damn about her music on any level at all. I bet you most guests on most programs love Taylor Swift. I must say, as a person, though, I mean, I think she's great.
Totally.
I don't know anything about her music at all. I couldn't name two tracks.
Dave, I could not be more at it and with you. Tremendous woman, seems very nice, hardworking, awesomely successful, manages to be polite and likable while being a big giant business mogul. Lot to be said for her. The music, though, Dave, what am I missing? Because I watched the concerts last year and people getting weepy about the various different eras of our life, and I thought, this must be good stuff. It seems to be mostly her complaining about relationships.
Yeah, but you also say she's a good person, and she does complain a lot about relationships. She's so incredibly relatable. She's independent and she's empathetic, and people say she's caring, which she is. She's a perfectionist, which everybody wants to be but isn't. And then she's also stressed and anxious. The amount of relatability from the certain audience that likes her, which is basically female 4 to 84, I'm not saying males can't like it, but like, as a person, that's the part of it. You can't take that away from the music. And as a person, and as her story through all those albums, like Folklore and Evermore, whatever it's called, well, the Tortured Poets last year, all those things, like, she has a narrative. She has an arc, you know, and people just love the whole thing. And like all the guys that you know she's singing about, like Matty Healy. I mean, I saw that band, he sings in 1975. I saw them at the Hollywood Bowl there about a year ago. And like, he's mental. He's mad. He's brilliant. And Joe Alwyn, the actor guy, too. And everybody knows who everybody is. Didn't you have a song that lasted for 13 minutes about a scarf belonging to Jake Gyllenhaal? I don't know. Yeah, seriously. Either she gave it to him or he gave it to her.
But I struggle with this, Dave. And the reason I struggle with this is because I would have thought that there is a long history of people who make music being tremendously awful human beings, but able to make very good music. Warren Zevon is case in point. The man was a horrible, horrible person, but he was
Some of his musicians are brilliant.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's with this crack of we like her because she's likable? When did this become a thing?
Yeah, I must say, I think she should be very proud of that. I mean, like, when she was on Graham Norton last night talking about her, yes, I'm engaged, and the happiness in her, and everything. Like, everybody, like, the whole, it's a wave of celebration from fans across social media and across the world. Now, that's, I presume it's across social media. I don't look at all that stuff, but I see enough, like, the intensity, the scrutiny, the 24-hourness of the madness of her life. It's just, and she comes across as such a great person. I don't care if she has demons or ghosts, or she gives out about this stuff and the other, or disses. I mean, there's a song on this album here that she's probably dissing, Charlie XCX. And I don't know or care. I wouldn't name one thing about Charlie XCX. I don't know anything about her. But it's all good, clean fun as far as I'm concerned. She just comes across as such a good and nice person. In fact, go to Graham Norton twice. The last time she was on 2 years ago, she was sitting beside an Irishman, Bono. Last night, she was sitting beside Cillian Murphy. And like, she just comes across as a very decent, honest, down to earth, and you can really relate to her kind of thing. Look, I'll give you an example. I've got a daughter. I don't want to live my musical life through my daughter, but she's obsessed with music, and her bands are, you know, Sophie and Stevens or Fontaines or
Stokes. She who got you in on the ground floor with Billie Eilish, I believe, wasn't it?
Well, actually, funny enough, 100%, but I mean, funny enough, so still about Billie, and she's crazy about Taylor Swift, but the Billie Eilish story is an interesting one on that level. Same thing. Like, when Billie Eilish was 17, Time magazine called her the most famous teenager on the planet. Which, like, it's very hard to live with that 24 hours a day. And, like, the constant madness of it all. And I will drop a bit of a name here, sorry. But, like, when she was over in Dublin there recently, we did see her afterwards, and it's like there was so many Irish people around backstage talking to her, because her father, stay with me for a second, is trying to get Irish citizenship because he's got these Irish background and all that, and it's the red tape of trying to get a passport and all that. His story is amazing. And how do I know the whole story? Because himself and the wife, the mother and father of Billy, came here for breakfast, and myself and my wife, the four of us, had a lovely breakfast together in our house. And the story of Billy, but the story of Billy and the Mads, like little things like, you know, people have their phones on all the time at gigs, and that's just the way it is, and they've accepted that. But Billy might sometimes be right down in front of the stage, like 1 yard, 1 foot away from somebody's face singing, and the person sticks a phone up between the two of them, because they have to capture that to show it to their friends. It's all part of doing it later. And like, they get that, even for that one moment, could you put the phone away?
As enjoyable as this tangent was, and I mean that genuinely, it was. I think I and everybody else liked it. Where we started was Taylor Swift. You had an insight into Taylor Swift thanks to this same daughter of yours.
Well, no, just how obsessed she is. Like, she was over in Stockholm studying for a year, and she went to see Taylor Swift. She loved her for it and said it was the greatest concert she'd ever seen. Now, she's seen everybody in concert, from U2 to the Sphere, like everybody. And like all the weekend things of them, All Together Now, the 4 days there, and the other one, Electric Picnic. And like, she has favourites from all of those. Obviously, Fontaines is her big one there. And like, Fatboy Slim was the best the whole weekend, considering he's so old, it's amazing. And all that kind of thing. But Taylor Swift is so huge. Like, she took a day off in Stockholm with all her friends to listen to the last album, that's whatever it's called, Torture Post, the whole thing, and they pour through it. The lyrics are just as important as the music, and I just think it's fantastic. I love it. I mean, I don't know anything about it. I couldn't name a song, basically, you know. And the first time I've ever put a Taylor Swift album on was this morning, because I knew I was talking to you, and it you know, it floats over my head, because it's just not my kind of music. But God, I wish her the best of luck. I think she's great. And you see the documentary Miss Americana about 5 years ago, and that was before she's the famous she is now. She comes across as somebody who has to try and keep it going every day, and does it so nicely and so well. Yeah, she's selling niceness. Hey, and I think,
who are you, and what have you done with the cynical Dave Fanning that I loved so much?
Well, I mean, like, I still listen to Ned's Atomic Dustbin. And
oh, Donald good, that's fine. Okay, now I'm...
Dumpy's Rusty Nuts. I still love those bands.
What was that last one?
Dumpy's Rusty Nuts. You must know Dumpy's Rusty Nuts. Graham Dumpy Dunnell.
And are the Rusty Nuts his backup?
Yeah, it's a band. They play a lot of clubs in England and have been doing it for about 40 years.
Yeah. So you listened this morning. What were the standout tracks, Dave?
Oh, God. Well, that first one, I suppose, is the one we're supposed to like, because that's the one with the video on that. Anybody doing Hamlet? Is Hamlet on the Leaving Cert this year? If you're doing Hamlet, that'll help you. It's all about that.
Is it Ophelia? Is that what it is?
Something? Oh, God, absolutely. Of course. I know. Like, I mean, I don't know. There's something that, like, I mean, if the diss, like, you know, vindictive diss tracks seem to be a pretty big thing in music today. You see Kendrick Lamar at the Super Bowl, and he actually sang that song, They Not Like Us, against Drake. Now, that is really going all the way. Like, that's suable in court kind of stuff. Now, she's got one here about Charlie XCX. In fact, if you go back, like, my diss track, it goes back 50-something years to Imagine, the album by John Lennon, where she had a song, which is a brilliant song, unfortunately. It's the cruelest song against Paul McCartney. You should check it out. It's called How Do You Sleep? Really vicious. So it's been there, that kind of stuff. It does get the blood boiling, you know. You really want to know. So people are sitting around right now saying, is that dissing Charlie, because Charlie said this, that's the other.
I believe she also disses Kanye.
In this, does she? God, I must have missed that.
Yeah, there's some reference to you think that you're impactful. I'm paraphrasing here, she's a better lyricist. You think that you're impactful, but actually you're like a chihuahua barking from a handbag, which is believed to be a reference to. Here, does Sweet Home Alabama therefore count as a diss track?
Yeah, it does, actually. No question about it. Because After the Gold Rush is an album by Neil Young. He's got a song on it called Southern Man. You know, we don't want you around and all this. You know, he was giving out about people from the South with their stupid views or something, whatever, which probably was wide open. So they bring that out saying, you know, Southern Man don't need you around. And I hope Neil Young will remember. Yeah, it is, yeah. We should do a whole program on diss tracks.
That should be excellent. What are you doing next weekend? We'll knock another 12 minutes out of it. A text to say, not a huge fan of Taylor Swift, but I mean, she does her job well. If she can reach people and make them feel good about themselves, bring people together and help them with their problems in her relatable songs, or help them enjoy being part of something, Swifties, she's doing her job well. I've never seen so much benign goodwill towards a person while simultaneously not liking her music.
That is 100% true. There's no question about it. That's exactly the position I'm in. I don't dislike her music. I just don't know it. And frankly, life is short. I don't have time.
If you have time to listen to Ned's Atomic Dustbin and your man with the Rusty Nuts...
Well, you remember the name of the band. I'm impressed. How about Tonto's expanding headband?
What one?
Tonto's expanding headband. Did you ever hear Zero Time? Like, if it wasn't for them, the synth wouldn't have been huge back in the 80s.
I believe you have another run of Fanning at Whelan's coming out.
Yes. In fact, like, that's another thing. Billy Eilish's brother, who's very famous, he's going to be playing with his full American band on the program. We've got the Water Boys. We've got, Divine Comedy. We've got loads of things coming up. It'll start sometime in December, as usual, first week of December.
Yes. And a doc on David Bowie.
Well, that's going to be on the radio. Yes, the doc on David Bowie. I've got it down to 6 hours now. I'm going to knock it down to maybe about 2 hours. And it's taking me a long time. It should have taken me about 2 weeks. It's taking me about 3 bloody months.
I would say Bowie is a very rewarding... Bowie strikes me as the kind of both interesting as a human and interesting as a musician type guy.
Well, I'll tell you, this is a sad thing about it. By the way, I'd love to put out a call on the radio. I interviewed him 6 times. And... I've lost 3 of them. But you see, when we watched music, we lived in the moment, you know, like we weren't picking our phones out at every gig and like that. That was it. Now, I know it's no excuse for the fact that how could you live? So I did an interview and I did a bunch of them, one in 87, I have that, one in 97, I have that, one in something, I don't know, I have that. But I did Tin Machine in Dublin, I've lost that, that was his band. And then I did an interview with Bowie in 93 in New York and 95 in Dublin, and I've lost them. So if anybody has those interviews, I'd love to find them because I could do with them for this documentary and knock out some of the other people in it.
If you've been saving Dave Fanning's interview with David Bowie since 96 earlier?
No. The two I'm missing are 2003 and 2005. 2005 was the one that was in Dublin, actually, but he was supposed to be playing at Morrissey, but he fell out after the first gig and then never liked each other. That was the 95 one. And then
you could see that Morrissey looks challenging.
Yeah, I mean, like, he can be curmudgeonly, let's say. Like, I was talking to Steve Lillywhite, the producer. He said, you know, I produced, like, 40 of the biggest bands in the world. But the only band, when Morrissey came down from breakfast, you know, to do the session, he was wearing a Morrissey T-shirt. It was weird.
Dave, gentle scholar as ever. If you find Dave's interviews, Anton at newstalk.com. Tell us and we'll pass them on to him.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.